read the word, please do that. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then the verses that we will concentrate on, 6 through 8. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed for his own authority, by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Let's pray. Father, we ask you would be with us today in all that we do, all that we say. Reminds us again of who we are in Christ and what you've called us to be about. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be here, and I appreciate the introduction from Chris. This morning when I was leaving the house, I grabbed this blazer and was walking out, and Kathy said, "You're not going to wear a tie?" And I said, "Well, the people at Trinity Grace are used to Chris Miller and Chris Taylor, and, you know, they kind of have a look about them." And she didn't say anything. But she looked at me, and in her eyes, what I saw was, "You're not going to shave your head, and you're not going to grow a beard. So, I'm not going to do either one of those things." But I'm here today because, as Pastor Chris said, this is Mission Sunday. And while I'm not a missionary, I was raised on the mission field. I was on the front lines in the sense that my mom and dad were there, and we did things with them, and at different times we would go with them different places and do different things, as the sons and daughters of missionaries do. Chris and Mary Jane would tell you the same thing that their kids do with them. They go places with them. So while I can relate to some of the experiences of what missionaries do, I wasn't the missionary. My parents were, but we were around them. But Sherry and the missions committee were gracious to ask me to, "Would you come and speak today on Mission Sunday?" So we'll do that, and we'll do our best to look at Scripture and see what it says to us about the reality of our call about missions. If you like outlines, I've broken this up into three sections: mission, missions, and missionaries. If you don't like outlines, those are still the three sections. They're not going to change. And it's not going to be complicated. And I don't know when I wrote that, I thought, okay, it's not complicated. And as I read it now, I'm guessing that some of you are saying, "Oh, it's not going to be complicated like Chris Miller's or Chris Taylor's sermons." No, it's just a very simple presentation of this is what Scripture tells us about mission, missions, and missionaries. So the first is mission. God has a mission to redeem a people for himself. That is what God is doing. Missions. God has equipped the church to be about the work of missions. And then God has sent the church to be his missionaries. Mission, missions, and missionaries. The word mission comes from a Latin word. The word means to send or to send out. So the idea of sending and of being sent runs through mission, it runs through missions, and it runs through missionaries. And therefore, as you see in the bulletin, our title is Living Sent. Living Sent Lives. So we'll start with mission. By mission, I mean the total redemptive purpose of God to establish his kingdom, redeeming a people for himself, for his glory, and for the good of his people. And so in some way, this first portion about mission is kind of an introduction to the other part, but I still labeled it mission rather than introduction. Notice in the text, "You will be my witnesses." My there is emphatic. You'll be my witnesses. The disciples weren't sent to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth under any other authority. They didn't go on their own. They didn't go under a church, under denomination, but you will be my witnesses. They were sent by God to accomplish his mission because the mission is God's. And because it's God's, we are correct and we are confident in believing that his mission will be accomplished. God's mission cannot not be accomplished. Nothing can obstruct what God has proposed to do. And the idea of mission is not new. Virtually every corporation has a mission statement. This is what we do. 27 years in the military, I worked under a lot of different organizations, squadrons and groups and wings and whatever, that had a mission. I was given several missions to do. Some of them were normal things. A couple of them, I thought, what imbecile thought this was a good idea? But it was still the mission I was given, and we would do our best to do it. And they weren't always done correctly, by the way. And some of those missions, you change a commander and you change the mission. Well, with God, it never has changed. God has always been about the mission of redeeming a people to himself. That will never change, and it will always get done. We can be confident in that. We can even say that God both has a mission and God is on a mission. He is the sender, sending his son, and he is sent in the person of his son. And so God is the source of his own mission of sending his own son. And that son embodies God's mission, and he accomplished it perfectly. And when he said it is finished, that mission, the initial mission of him being sent to the cross, was accomplished and it was done. The mission of redeeming continues, and it will be accomplished. God's mission is then extended and applied through the ministry of the Spirit. He calls, he equips, he empowers the people of God, equipping them for God's mission. And so we have this triune effort, if you will, in God's mission. God is the source of it. He sent himself in the form of the Son, and his Holy Spirit equips us to do the things that he has called us to do. The mission is therefore God's. He sends to accomplish his mission, the redemption of his entire creation. Jesus speaks of himself as being sent, especially in John's Gospel, chapter 17. Over and over and over again, he uses phrases. He says, the Christ whom you have sent, that you sent me, that may be one even as we are one. I have sent them, you have sent me. And on and on and on in chapter 17, the instrument, the sent people of God, the church is the instrument of God's mission that he is doing to redeem a people from himself. But God's mission didn't start when Jesus walked the earth. It had already been going on since before the foundations of the earth, of the world. If you read back in the Old Testament, chapter 11, we see the peoples of the world, Tower of Babel being built. We know the story. We've read the narrative. And we want to make sure that we are all together here. Well, God has a plan of redeeming people. So God first scatters the people. He makes all the nations. And then he chooses a people, Israel, for himself. And remember, when he chose Israel, it was one guy. It was just Abraham. But God chooses Israel, and he says, Israel, I'm sending you to call people to me. And so God sent the people of Israel on a mission, on his mission, to bring the people of God to himself. Psalmist 57:9, I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your faithful love is high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. God be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth. Isaiah chapter 2. All nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways so that we may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God sent Israel on a mission to tell the world about his redeeming love. Some people have called that the centripetal mission, bringing people to Jerusalem to hear about the word of God. And we know, we've read the story, we've read to the end. They didn't do a very good job. Israel didn't do a very good job of carrying out God's mission. But it didn't mean that the mission failed. It means that people failed. But his mission to redeem people has remained. And it's important, I think, to understand that because Israel failed, it doesn't mean that God had to come up with another plan. It wasn't from plan A to worked up plan B. It has always been God's mission of redemption through the cross. When I was younger, I remember hearing a sermon. The pastor said, Adam and Eve were plan A, Israel was plan B, and then the cross was plan C. There's no plan A, There's no plan B. There's certainly no plan C. But God's mission was always centered on Jesus' atoning death on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's been the only plan of redemption since before the foundations of the world. In my house, perhaps in your too, in your house too, there are oftentimes plans A and B and C. Sometimes you may get to Z because things just don't work out. When our kids were younger and we would buy them the kind of toys, which was a mistake that you had to put together, those plans hardly ever worked. And I would tell Kathy, I said, why did we buy this? There's going to be parts missing. There's going to be a tool I don't have, and we'd have to come up with another plan. And sometimes they weren't too sure what we bought them. But with God, it was never any unsurety. We always knew. God has always known what he was doing and when he was doing it. His mission remains the same. And again, we're reminded, because it is his mission, he says we are his witnesses. You will be my witnesses. And we're witness to what he has done, to what he is doing, and what he will do. Because God has a mission, and it's to redeem a people for himself. Mission. That's our introduction. Missions, on the other hand, is the activity of God's people, the church, to proclaim the gospel message of redemption and to demonstrate the kingdom of God in the world. The activity of God's people, the church, to proclaim the gospel message of redemption and to demonstrate the kingdom of God in the world. And we could list many, many different types of missions that we've heard about, we've been involved in, about what goes on from the people of God. Our missionary board out here, every one of those missionaries, every one of those people, every one of those places, and I appreciated so much during the pastoral prayer, listing all the missionaries as we prayed for them during that time and the work they're doing in all those places. But each one is engaged in missions, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and all of street ministry, home Bible studies, preaching, teaching, whatever it is, we know those are missions that are being carried out by people that we're supporting. We know them. Some of them, you all have met all of them. During our 3 years here, we met some of them. We've prayed with them. We've prayed for them. We've shared meals with them at different times. And as they're doing these things, they're carrying out the missions God has entrusted to them. Today was even a special privilege to have Chris and Mary Jane. And talking about, we had this mission that God had given us in Brazil, and we did that. And now God has changed that and has moved us to Peru and those different kinds of things that they'll be involved in. We got to hear that in Sunday school hour. And if you didn't, you missed a great time of Chris explaining to us what they'll be doing in Peru. And it seems like there's too much there for Chris and Mary Jane. But the great thing is they're not by themselves. They're not alone. First of all, they have the Holy Spirit, but also they have the help of other missionaries. But those missions that God has given to them, they're going to be carrying those out. And it was good for us to see them and to talk to them and say, oh, now we know how to pray for you, Chris and Mary Jane, there in Pucallpa, Peru. And that's normally, by the way, what we think of when we say the word missions. The people on our mission board, the hows, they're over there. Ah, missions over there is what we do normally think of when we say the word missions. But don't just take place over there. Because some see the tension as between, well, we got stuff to do here, and we got stuff to do there. Which one do we do, as if we have to pick and choose missions here versus missions there? But go back to the text. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. It doesn't say or. It says and. You will do these things. This call, that's not either or. The call is to do the work of missions in all those areas. And notice it's an ever outward flow. If you look at a map, you see Jerusalem, and then you see Judea, and you see Samaria, and then you have to get the whole globe to see the ends of the earth. But it's an ever outward flow of these things, of these missions that God has entrusted to his church, to his people, to carry out. And every church that has a heart for missions or is involved in missions is in some way Jerusalem. You think about that. Christ told the disciples, all right, you're going to be doing missions. You're going to be taking the gospel, and you're going to start right there in Jerusalem. You guys are going to be right there. And then you'll send some out to Judea. And then you'll send some out to Samaria. And then And then. And the extra biblical record tells us that the disciples went a lot of places. Thomas, I think, went the furthest, maybe all the way to India. But in other words, the flow was to go out and out and out, but it began right where they are. So if we claim to be a part of the body of Christ and we are his witnesses, we start here. We are in Jerusalem. What is God having us to do right here around us? Well, we know that Trinity Grace Church is involved in missions right here around us because you all have been a part of that. You have a pastor who knows who is in part of that. But they're endless. And this outward flow goes on and on and on. And Trinity Grace understands that. We barely 4 years ago, and we've only heard the story. We've heard it from Pastor Chris and others. All right, guys, send some people down to Fayetteville. Move them out. And a bunch went down to Fayetteville. And then lately, send some guys up to Bentonville. And a bunch were sent up to Bentonville. And for the purpose of our metaphor, that was your Judea. This was Jerusalem. Down to Fayetteville and up to Bentonville, you're sending it out. Because the gospel is going to be sent out. We're not just going to leave it right here. And if you talk to Pastor Chris, he'll tell you both times were pretty painful. But as I look here today, I don't know where you would put 80 people. Because God continues to see that. That as he sends, he brings more in. Trinity Grace's DNA has missions running through it. And now at Christ Church Bentonville, that same DNA prayerfully will run through there as well. And just as an aside, Chris Miller doesn't need to hear my praise, but I've never in 67 years, I have been in a church that has so deeply and clearly understood that sending was multiplying and was not subtracting. One of the first conversations I had with him was at a work day, and I said, "Oh, look at all that great property over there. Pastor, you can build a bigger church over there, a bigger sanctuary. He carefully explained that, no, that's not what we're about. We're about preparing people to be sent out to plant churches other places. And it was such a wonderful event for me because what I'd come from was bigger and bigger and bigger is better and better and better. And so I appreciated that, moving out from Jerusalem. And just as the disciples were told, move out. And so in a way, as I said, Christ Community in Fayetteville and Christ Church Bentonville is your Judea. You sent them out there to take missions or the gospel out there, moving outside the walls of Jerusalem, leaving the comfort to proclaim the message of redemption to more places. When my parents felt called to go to Brazil in 1958, actually in 56, they knew that this was what God was going to do with them. They, in their hearts, they knew God was sending them to Brazil, and their relatives, especially their parents, said, "Why would you leave the comfort of Fort Worth, Texas, and go to Brazil? I mean, that's just doesn't seem right. You got this growing church here in Fort Worth. They just built a new sanctuary, and they bought a little parsonage. And besides, if you go, leave the kids behind." And they just didn't get it. But my parents knew, no, we're being sent. Yes, it's time to leave some comforts. If you talk to Chris and Mary Jane, there's a lot of comforts that they left behind when they were in the communities with the Ashaninka Indians. There was some comforts they really missed. But it wasn't the point of being comfortable. It's being, where are you sending us? What missions are there you would have us to do out there? Pastor Miller even talked about, wouldn't it be more comfortable to not send people to Fayetteville, to not send people to Bentonville? We know each other. We're already comfortable with each other. Let's just stay here together. But no, Judea, sending them out ultimately for the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you read the text, you think of those 11 guys. Okay, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, there's just 11 of us, God. Do you understand that? It's just a small, and on their own, it would have been impossible. But they didn't do it on their own because God promised you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that made all the difference. Not only did leaving Jerusalem become possible, but it became imperative. So instead of a centripetal mission, we now have a centrifugal church going out to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. God's mission is to redeem a people for himself and for the church to engage in missions of proclaiming that gospel message to the world wherever that would lead them. It leads some of them across the street. It leads some to Pucallpa, Peru. It leads others other places. Well, who makes up the church? Christians. And Christians are missionaries. We know this because several times Jesus commissions his followers and he says, go. John 20:21. Jesus said to them, peace to you, and as the Father has sent me, I also send you. The more familiar Great Commission from Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go and be missionaries. And then our own text. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We can safely say that Christ expects his people, Christians, to be about the business of being sent, of going, of being a missionary, of living sent lives. I was reading Spurgeon this past couple of weeks, and whenever I read Spurgeon, I always put on a gruff voice in my mind. I never heard him live. I was going to ask John McWilliams what he sounded like, but if you don't know John McWilliams, he's older than I am. But Spurgeon writes, and again, put on a gruff voice, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And it's a pretty straightforward statement. And from what whenever I read Spurgeon, I think he's a pretty straightforward guy. He probably wasn't the kind of guy to beat around the bush. It was probably in your face sometimes. But when he says that, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter, what he's saying is that we're all sent by Jesus and are called to live in light of that sending. And if you're not, then you're an imposter, is what he meant. You're either missionary or you're an imposter. We're called to live on mission. If we're indeed living on mission, then we are, here we are, here's our word, we are missionaries. But we don't lose sight of and we deeply appreciate what we normally think of when we think of the word missionary. We're talking about particular people to a particular calling with particular ministries, taking the gospel often across cultural and linguistic barriers, making disciples of all nations. We heard about what Chris and Mary Jane are doing, a particular mission there in Peru, a particular mission before that in Brazil. My parents were called particularly to do certain things as missionaries in Brazil in 1958 for a particular mission. But getting back to Spurgeon, though, if you're not a missionary, you're an imposter. Each one of us has been called to live a sent life. Even if most of us will live our lives in our own Jerusalem, that means that we are sent to that Jerusalem. Some of us will be sent to Judea, some to Samaria, and a few to the ends of the earth. Missionaries, all the same. And in living the sent life, and we did not plan this, but Chris Howe uses this verse in his during the Sunday school hour. Scripture also calls us not just witnesses, but also ambassadors. We take that from 2 Corinthians. And probably one of my favorite verses because of the import of the wording. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us, and we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We usually do not plead with people from long distance. We plead with them up close and personal. The people we are sent to be near. And so we do that, meeting people right where they are. Perhaps the only time I ever recall in my own life of doing some pleading with long distance with a friend that I met in the Air Force, and he decided to renounce his family, renounce the faith, but agreed to carry on a correspondence with me for a while. about why he left the faith and my desire to reach back to him. So that pleading went on for a while, but finally he cut that off too. But most of the time, it's face to face. People we have come across in our living, in our sending, and we see them. We know them close up. We're missionaries to them. People on our street. A young family that has a new baby might need something. A widow next door might need something. A young couple down the street who have no idea who Christ is at all. We plead on Christ's behalf. Folks at our work. In the Air Force, we moved a lot. In 27 years, we moved 13 times. So I got a different circle of people to work with all the time. One time I was in location, and I came to work just not really wanting to talk to anyone. That may have never happened to you, but it happened to me that day. I said, just leave me alone. Guy next to me said, hey, John, what are you going to do when you retire? And I was in my 30s. I said, please. You know, what? I don't know. Well, I'm going to do this. I said, that's great, Bill. That's great. And after retirement, I'm going to do these kinds of hobbies. That's super. Great. Knock yourself out. And then I'm going to get really old. And John, one day I'm going to die. And then what? And I thought, God, I didn't want this today. I didn't want him to say, I'm going to die. And then what? But he did. That was the circle that God had given me right there. And he had sent me to Bill. So I talked to Bill about the gospel. I have no idea what happened to his life because we moved again shortly after that. But that's what God had sent me to be that day to Bill, a missionary to a young man named Bill, who wanted to know, after I die, what's going to happen? Perhaps your classmates at school, you guys are in high school. Maybe there's a guy in math class or history class or my favorite, PE. You don't know, but what they may need to hear the gospel. You're a missionary to them. You're the one that has been sent to that class at that time for that purpose. Sometimes you write words on notes, Pastor, and they're words until you speak them. A family member, a son or daughter, or father or mother, you're a missionary to them. And all of a sudden it becomes the fury of the reality of pleading with them, be reconciled to God, builds up. And reminded again, I'm a missionary to this son or brother or father. And I can't escape it. On Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This past summer, Chris Taylor had all of us, Christchurch, Bentonville crowd, man, this booth at Farmer's Market. It was a lot of fun. It was interesting. Some days it wasn't fun. I take that back. But we were able to look people in the eye as they came across the Farmer's Market, and we gripped their hands. We put hands on their shoulders. We talked to them. We met with them. We gave and received hugs at different times, depending on what they wanted to do. We gave them literature. On hot days, we gave them bottles of water, and we explained the gospel of redemption through Christ. There was a young woman next to us one time, and she had a booth advertising some holistic living. I'm not sure what the deal was. But she'd been raised in church, she said. And when we asked about the kind of church, we thought, yeah, no, you weren't. And so we were able to explain the gospel to her. I don't know what's going to happen to her. She lives somewhere else. But we were able to be missionaries right there in the farmer's market, and we attempted to build those relationships for the sake of the gospel. And by the way, Bentonville Farmer's Market was our Jerusalem, but we were your missionaries sent from here. It was in your Judea. God's ambassadors taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to your Judea, to our own Jerusalem. Sent to serve and to build relationships. That's the nature of God's mission of redeeming a people for himself. He does that by sending people. Chris used the verses we did too about being sent as ambassadors. That's another person who is sent out for the purpose of building relationships. As Pastor Chris said, I grew up in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. At that time, Rio was the capital city of Brazil. So all the foreign embassies were there. And some of the ambassadors decided to send their kids to the school where we went. And so I went to school with a lot of the kids of the ambassadors. They were the kids who had really cool cars with flags and big, burly drivers. We had Volkswagen Kombi and my dad. But they were sent there by their countries saying, go and build relationships there and do these kinds of things that ambassadors do. Well, we as ambassadors of Christ have much more important work than the ambassador from country X going to Brazil. But one thing is the same. If we're ambassadors, and Scripture says we are, so it's not an if, it's since, then we're to live as we were sent to a foreign country. How invested am I where I am? I live in Bella Vista. Kath and I are very grateful that God called us here, first to Trinity Grace, now to Christ Church Bentonville, but that He led us here from 15 years in San Antonio. But He didn't call us here to be invested in Bella Vista or in Northwest Arkansas and say, man, this is life. If we're ambassadors for Christ, this is not our home. This is not really where we're from. We're to look for a city whose foundation was not made by hands. We're to live as strangers in a strange land. We're to live as if we are not from here. Because when we start living as if we're from here, we lose sight of God's mission of redemption, the missions that are around us and which we can be a part of, and the fact that we are called as missionaries right where we are, whether we're still in Jerusalem or have gone somewhere else. We're to live as if we are living sent lives right here and now. We are sent, and we're sent for the purpose of being missionaries and about the business of proclaiming the good news of redemption to a lost and a dying world, because that's what missionaries do. We are sent to do that. As Chris said, God didn't need, in Sunday school hour, by the way, we did not plan what he said and what I said. Not one, I had no idea, but yet they complemented each other well. God does not need us, by the way. We need to remind ourselves, God doesn't need us. But Chris used the word privilege. He gives us the privilege of being about the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are a part of that no matter where we are. The heart and the mission of God is redeeming a people to himself. We are a people made new in Christ, and we're to live as agents of that mission. And that probably should shape us. It should probably shape the way I think, the decisions I make, and the things I choose to do, not just today, but tomorrow and the next month and the next year. I had a friend who went to be a missionary to the Pokot people in Kenya. He's a missionary and he's sent. Chris and Mary Jane are missionaries in Pucallpa, Peru. They're missionaries and they're sent. They're living sent. If you're able to go to Haiti with Ben sometimes, or to Lebanon or Iraq for short-term missions, you're a missionary, and you are sent. If you're a pastor at Trinity Grace Church, you're a missionary and you're sent. If you're a pastor at Christ Church Bentonville, you're a missionary and you're sent. And if you're like the most of us, you're just a regular person here in Rogers or in Bentonville, living in most of our lives in our Jerusalem, we're sent. We're to live sent lives right where we are. So that gives us the question, what will we do? At the beginning, I said, I'm not a missionary. Well, guess what? I guess I am a missionary. And I guess you are a missionary as well. Scripture calls us to live as those who are sent here and now. As the Father has sent me, so send I you, he said. When we listen to those words, there's a response. And the response should be, here I am, Lord. Send me. Let me be part of your mission in redeeming a people to yourself. Regardless of the activities that you call me to, and regardless of if I have to stay in Jerusalem or if I'm going to go somewhere else, let me live a sent life for the sake of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now believing that in Christ we have indeed been made new, that in Christ you have called us to be about the business of proclaiming the gospel. And we thank you for the privilege of once again of coming before you and honoring you. In Jesus' name, amen.